Morning.
Stephen, good morning. Well, good morning, everyone. Look, I've continually said that this is serious, and it is serious, and that this virus would take lives. Yesterday, I sadly had to announce that we had our first death of an elderly woman on the northwest coast. Today, unfortunately and sadly, I need to confirm that we've had our second death from the coronavirus. An elderly man who has been cared for at the Royal Hobart Hospital passed away overnight. I want to extend my deepest sympathy to his family and to his friends. This is a very, very sad time. This is two deaths in Tasmania, two deaths too many, and it serves as a warning to us all that these are going to be tough and difficult times, and we must all play our part to keep Tasmania safe. In the main, Tasmanians are doing the right thing. In the main, they're abiding by the rules. Most Tasmanians have put in place the measures that they need to, and most Tasmanians are doing what they can in terms of social distancing and, importantly, in terms of self-isolation. But yesterday we made some changes that came into effect from last night, and I just want to spend some time on those and provide some clarity on a number of matters, and also indicate that there will be a detailed fact sheet and information, and also some frequently asked questions that will be out today to ensure that people understand exactly what's going on. The rules that came into place about staying at home are in effect from midnight last night. At a high level, stay at home unless you're going to work or that you're volunteering, unless you're going to school, unless you're out for essential supplies or medical supplies, and importantly, unless you're out for exercise. I'll provide a little bit more granular detail just to provide some clarity, and then these matters will be captured in the order and they'll be in the fact sheet that is out today. So if you're shopping for supplies or services, attending medical or healthcare appointments or for medical treatment, obviously that's fine. If you're undertaking personal exercise, fine. If you need to provide social support or care to another person, including on compassionate needs, or if you need to share custody of children or care arrangements for another person. A lot of Tasmanians have pets. If you need to utilise veterinary services for an animal, of course that's okay. Many Tasmanians, as I indicated yesterday, have a second property. We expect you to stay in your primary place of residence. However, if you need to make urgent repairs or there is damage that you need to fix, you can go to that other property to do those urgent repairs. There is also some discretion that the Director of Public Health has. And I just want to just deal with a couple of matters that were raised. In fact, one especially that came in from a number of people last night in terms of partners that both own a property or both are living in separate properties. Are they allowed to stay at each other's property overnight? I never thought that I'd be extending into people's love lives in this particular way, but I just want to say, utilise common sense. Utilise common sense. The director has a discretion, and I've raised it with him this morning, and we'll provide some clarity in terms of those circumstances. So, what are essential supplies? Just to be clear, food and other household supplies, as well as pharmaceutical or medical supplies. Those things that you may need for urgent home repairs or maintenance, or getting your vehicle serviced or repaired. Importantly, you shouldn't be out purchasing supplies from a business that is prohibited. And I want to be clear, we have not defined essential services or businesses. What we have done, to be very clear, is we have provided a list of those businesses that are prohibited. If you're on that list, and that list is available again on the website, we'll provide more clarity, and I'm hoping the media can help us today in terms of providing that list in the paper so that there's absolute clarity. If you're not on that list, then you can operate your business. Questions such as, should I be using public transport? The answer is yes. Utilise appropriate social distancing. Should I still be sending my children to school? We've made it perfectly clear that parents, you should keep your children at home if you can support them. If not, our schools remain open and they will provide provide support for those parents who are working. And again, this issue of essential workers. If you have a job and you're going to work and you want your children to go to school, they can go to school. One question that was asked a number of times yesterday was, can you still exercise outdoors? Absolutely, but only two people together. If you want to go for a walk, if you want to go for a run, if you want to ride a bike, many Tasmanians go shooting, many Tasmanians go fishing. You can still do those activities, but only two people. We want to ensure that we can stop the spread of this disease. And if you are undertaking those activities, and another one that was raised was horse riding, again, only two people. You use your common sense and importantly abide by the rules. Take into account social distancing, protect yourselves, your family, your loved ones, and your community. Question that was raised by a number of people last night, again, was we have elderly people that live next door. Can we check on them? Elderly people are at risk. If you can talk over the fence, do that. But if you want to check, knock on the door and make certain that they're okay. There's no issue with that. But again, be mindful that they are a high-risk group, and we want you to be sensible in the way that you go about this. This is about protecting our community. This is about ensuring that those that we love, our family, our friends, our community, are kept safe. The issue of shacks came up. Again, we don't want a flood of people going to small coastal villages that are largely retirement villages over the Easter. You make a decision in terms of where you will be staying in your primary residence, and you do not go on holiday at your shack. For some people who are self-isolating are already at their shacks, that's fine, but that's your nominated address for the 4-week period. Questions were raised in terms of parents that share custody. Custody arrangements still need to be managed, and children can still stay at each partner's premises or property in line with the custody arrangements. We're not going to reach into those. But again, be sensible in terms of how you manage these matters. This is for Tasmania's protection. Now, as I said yesterday, it is a significant shift. It is a significant shift. What we need to ensure is that we all abide by the rules. Now that we've had, unfortunately, our second death, there is a message in that for all of us. This virus is deadly. This virus will kill you. Take the necessary steps that you can. Utilise the rules to your advantage. Social distancing and abiding by the rules will save your life, it will save your family's life, it will save lives in our community. Stay home and save lives is the overarching message, and the simple fact of the matter is that that is the truth. If you stay home, if you abide by the rules, if you do everything that you can in terms of social distancing, then you will save lives. And that's exactly what we need Tasmanians to be doing to help us through this. The Australian government last night, based on AHPPC advice, upgraded the previous advice that it had initially in terms of the strong guidance for older people. The initial guidance was that if you're over 60 with an underlying condition and those over 70 should consider self-isolation. That was upgraded last night to where if you're over 65 years of age and you have an underlying health condition rather than 60 years of age, so 65 if you have an underlying health condition, and those over the age of 70 should consider self-isolation to protect themselves. Now, this is strong guidance. It's not a mandatory position. I do want to just touch on the Prime Minister's package yesterday, the $130 billion JobKeepers package. And I would encourage businesses in Tasmania to register for that. I was briefed fully on it last night. Under the circumstances, it is a great opportunity for businesses to hibernate and for those that are continuing to trade to support their employees and importantly continue to put money into their employees' pockets. Importantly, it covers off casuals who have been employed for at least 12 months in the business. Importantly, if a business has closed because there just simply isn't enough trade or its turnover has been affected, the package still applies to them. You don't have to be one of the businesses that has been prohibited and closed. Get on the website, register your interest, because this will help you ensure that your business can hibernate for the period that we need to work through this, and when we come out the other side, that your employees can remain attached to that business and your workforce is ready to take the next step and rebuild. Tasmania has an opportunity. We have an opportunity to ensure that we don't get to a full shutdown. And the measures that we have put in place in terms of strict social distancing are designed to do that. In terms of the rules from midnight last night, ensure that you abide by them. Use common sense. In terms of the two-person rule, now, strict as it is, it's there for a reason. It's designed to keep you safe, and it's designed to keep Tasmanians safe and to save lives. So look, I'll pass over to the Health Minister to provide a broader update. But my message to Tasmanians today is that we now have our second death. This is absolutely serious. You know, Tasmanians should take heed of the messages. They should follow the rules, and if we do or follow the rules, then we're going to keep more Tasmanians safe. We're going to save lives, and that's the important thing here.
Thank you, Premier. I'll start by providing an update on the coronavirus cases within Tasmania. As of last night and as of today, there were three more confirmed cases of coronavirus, bringing the state's tally to 69. Two are from southern Tasmania and one is from the northwest. One is a close contact of a known case, one is a recently arrived traveller from overseas, and the third had recently travelled aboard a cruise ship. All three cases are women. With regards to the other two cases that are currently under investigation, these investigations are continuing to determine the likely source of infection. As the Premier outlined, sadly, we had another death of coronavirus late last night. A man who was at the Royal Hobart Hospital in his 80s died yesterday. I'm advised that both deaths that we have had in Tasmania have been associated with travel on the Ruby Princess. 10 Tasmanians have been cleared and are no longer in isolation, and that is also an important message that while we are very worried about coronavirus and the impact, particularly on the elderly, we do have people recovering and being able to continue their lives. I'd encourage all Tasmanians once again to understand how the rules apply to you. We understand that things are evolving quickly. The coronavirus.tas.gov.au website will give you the most up-to-date information. There are fact sheets on those that will apply to a range of circumstances. So if you're not clear on what restrictions or what impacts there are for you, have a look at that website. We're also continuing to publish information in newspapers around Tasmania. And if you have further concerns, please ring the hotline and we'll be able to help you. Furthermore, I know that there has been concern amongst some Tasmanians about being able to procure their prescriptions, particularly perhaps for older Tasmanians that haven't been able to get to their GP or to the GP as much as they would have liked to. So the government has made changes to allow the emergency supply of certain medicines by pharmacists without prescription to help prevent the spread of coronavirus, particularly for those vulnerable Tasmanians. New regulations have been made to the Poisons Regulation 2018 to provide for the emergency supply of certain restricted substances without prescription where there is an emergency order in force. These changes will help people with ongoing medical needs who might not have access to their valid prescription or who are unable to visit their doctor. So I'd encourage Tasmanians, we still need to look after our health and our underlying conditions in these circumstances. Many GPs are now offering telehealth, so if you feel vulnerable and don't want to be leaving your house or you can't because of self-isolation, I'd encourage Tasmanians to phone your local GP, see whether they're able to provide a telehealth consultation, and also being able to phone your pharmacist and whether you can get a prescription. Many pharmacists around Tasmania are now offering deliveries, so if you have underlying conditions, I'd ask all Tasmanians to remember to keep managing these. GPs are still there to help you with all your healthcare needs, and I ask all Tasmanians to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and your loved ones. Furthermore, as Minister for Small Business, I'd like to provide an update on the range of support mechanisms that the government has provided. We have provided the Small Business Emergency Support Grants. We have had over 4,000 applications, 2,869 have been approved, and over 2,000 have been paid. So 2,200 have been paid to Tasmanians to get them over the line at the moment. We know that there are a range of supports, as outlined by the Prime Minister last night, as well as other grants and continuity measures that the state government has responded to. But we know, particularly for small businesses that have significant cash flow challenges, that those grants are available and they are going out the door. For small businesses that want to understand what is applicable for them, I would ask you to go to business.tas.gov.au and you'll be able to see the full suite of measures that we have available to support your business during this incredibly challenging time. Dr. Beach.
Thank you, Minister Nathania. I too would like to offer my sympathies to the family of the gentleman who died at the Hobart Hospital last night. And I know that the contact tracing team, who was grateful for their interactions with the family as part of our work, will also share those sympathies. I want to give you an update on the investigation of the two cases at Devonport. As you know, there were two women who we were following up to try and find the source of their infection. And there are two parts to this investigation. There's the contact tracing or tracing forward, and there's also the tracing backwards to try and find the source of the infection. The tracing forward has gone well. That's a very urgent and most important part of the investigation. And for the young lady in her 20s, we identified five contacts who are in quarantine. And for the healthcare worker, we identified 17 contacts who are in quarantine. Those people will be in quarantine for 14 days after their last contact with these cases, and they'll be tested if they get any symptoms to check whether or not they have picked up coronavirus infection. The trace back is much more difficult. It's the process of trying to work out where people caught their infection from, and you'll understand that we're particularly concerned to see if we can identify a specific source of these cases or whether it's arisen from somewhere else in the community. The trace back's been going on for 2 days now, and we've identified an extensive series. We've followed up the movements and the interactions of these people in the 2 days before that, or the 2 weeks before they became unwell. That is a elaborate process. If you look back into your own personal life in the last 2 weeks, you'd find that you've been to a lot of different places and interacted with a lot of different people. And that's the case with both of these people. We haven't identified a specific likely source of infection of these people to date, but we will continue to do so. Both of them have had contact with people from overseas and interstate within Tasmania, so it's always possible that the infection was acquired from one of these sources rather than somewhere in the local community. I will let you know in the next day or so where we get with this investigation, but it is possible that we'll reach the point where what we can say is we don't know where this infection came from. What we are doing to cover up the possibility of local or community transmission in this area is to increase testing through general practice and the emergency department. And we've asked general practitioners and the emergency department to test people with acute respiratory infections or fever. So we've expanded the testing criteria to try and see if there is any evidence of local transmission in that region. And that will continue indefinitely at this stage. So I might just leave it there.
Dr. Beach, are you expecting to find a single source of the infection of these two people, or do you expect that they will have contracted it from separate sources? Are there any links between them?
We are always, if you see two cases in a region around about the same time, you always look for a link between the two, but you also have to keep your mind open to the possibility that the infections are arisen from entirely different sources. We know both of these people, as I mentioned, had substantial interactions with people from overseas and from interstate in the 2 weeks before they became unwell. So it's possible they've each independently been infected from a different source.
The man who's died, are you able to give us some idea about where he was from?
No. The gentleman who died was from southern Tasmania, and he had been on the cruise, the Ruby Princess cruise, that had docked the week before last in Sydney.
And he was one of the already identified cases that included in that 69
yes,
number.
Was.
Is any post-mortem testing being carried out of people who die in hospitals to find out if they might have had coronavirus?
Do you mean anyone who dies in hospital?
Yeah, I suppose, is there any checks that there might have been deaths related to coronavirus that came from not identified
we
cases?
We have, for some weeks, we've had the recommendation that people who die of illnesses that could be coronavirus, particularly, or people who have illnesses that could be coronavirus, such as severe pneumonia, get tested for coronavirus even if they don't meet the other criteria for testing. So we've been on the lookout for illnesses that could be serious coronavirus infection all the while.
On the two cases from Devonport, are the people themselves known to each other or linked, or they're completely separate people who don't know each other?
These people are not known to each other.
Just to clarify, while that investigation is ongoing, you're not confirming yet that this is community transmission.
We don't know the sources of these people's infection. It's clearly not from overseas, not directly from overseas. It's not directly from a person that they've identified to us as a close contact yet. If we can't identify a source of infection, as I think I'm suggesting, it's quite possible we won't identify a specific source of infection for either of them. If we get to that point, it doesn't necessarily mean that the infection is spreading through the community, because it could have been, each person could have been infected by a separate individual who didn't necessarily cause other local infections. But certainly it's an important signal to look out for the possibility of local community transmission, and that's why we're encouraging the testing of all people with respiratory infections or fevers in that in the Devonport area to see if we can pick that up. If we pick up cases that way, that would unfortunately be evidence of community transmission.
The Don Medical Centre apparently is saying via social media or a website post apparently that they're saying community transmission is happening in the Devonport area. You'd be saying it's too early to say that.
We can't confirm that. We're asking those medical centres to help us try and work out whether that's occurring by doing the testing of people who meet the criteria for respiratory infection or fever.
We've seen the New South Wales Director of Public Health saying that he feels there's been a decline in testing numbers in New South Wales and that shouldn't be happening, it should be increasing. Could you give us any numbers of testing that's happening in Tasmania, and is testing increasing?
Testing has dramatically increased in the last week or so in Tasmania. We have done over 2,000 tests now. We're doing between 1 and 200 tests a day, sometimes more than 200 tests a day. And I expect that we'll be continuing to have moderate increases in testing over the coming days, particularly focused we want in the Devonport area where we have a concern.
Are any of the current people who have coronavirus in Tasmania in severe or life-threatening states in critical condition?
I don't have a clinical update on all the cases that we provide, I'm afraid.
We heard the Premier before saying that the Director of Public Health will have some discretion relating to the current rules. Are you the prosecuting authority, or are you the person who signs off on whether someone is prosecuted for flouting coronavirus-related rules?
The decisions about prosecution will be with our colleagues in the police. The other question you're asking about exceptions is something that we expected would arise when we put a measure as strict as two-person gatherings in place. That was done very deliberately to try and reduce the mixing of people in the community, and by reducing that mixing we reduce the spread. But we realise when we get down to a limitation as small as that, there's going to have to be some exceptions that we work out so that we can actually proceed with a sensible approach for some weeks or months, and so that people can maintain social cohesion and their relationships and so on. So there's no intent to be ridiculously restrictive about people with established relationships. We're just going to work through providing advice that fits with our intent, but also enables people in close relationships to mix appropriately.
As far as the increased testing that you're doing, is it fair to say that you've stepped up the testing of people with respiratory symptoms in the Devonport area to try
yes.
and get on top of that?
That's very much the intent. Previously, we weren't looking. We picked up the two people in the Devonport area through the existing testing mechanism, so that was fortunate and good. But now we're expanding the testing to look more broadly for any evidence of community infection.
The number of new cases reported every day seem to be getting smaller. Would you say that the curve has been flattened in Tasmania?
The main reason why the number of cases have dropped off is because we're getting past the point in time when people were arriving in numbers from cruise ships and from overseas. So it's a natural consequence of restricting the entry of the virus, if you like, into Tasmania through those border measures. What we're now very careful to look out for is any change in the numbers of cases that aren't linked to overseas travel or to cruise ships.
Can we have the
brief? I just have a question for the Health Minister, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much. I understand there's an issue with blood donations. There's an urgent need for people to continue to donate blood. Can you update us on the situation with the Red Cross blood bank?
Yeah, I thank you for that question. And I know that many Tasmanians are very generous and do donate blood regularly. These services are still required for our blood services and for our hospitals and care delivery to continue. So travel and venue restrictions do not apply to giving blood, so you can still give blood. It's a healthcare setting. The blood centres are open, I'm advised, and the teams are ready to welcome people. As with other advice, if you're unwell, if you're sick, you shouldn't be giving blood anyway, and you should be self-isolating and not trying to limit your movements. But if you're well, if you donate blood regularly, we'd encourage people to contact their blood service and continue doing that.
So it's still safe to give blood. People can leave their house if that's the purpose for which they're leaving.
Yes, they can.
And
it is classified as a healthcare setting, so you can still give blood. And I would encourage those Tasmanians that do regularly give blood to do that. But it's also, as always with giving blood, you need to be conscious of what your underlying conditions are or whether you're unwell. But if you're well and are able to, that would be something we would encourage people to keep doing.
Premier, you said yesterday that the new measures that came in at midnight last night restricting movement would be reviewed after 4 weeks. What will have to happen for you to say at the end of the 4 weeks, okay, we can lift that?
Well, again, we'll come back to whether we flatten the curve and whether there's community transmission.
And I suppose how long are you prepared to have these current measures before you might consider a full lockdown or a full shutdown? What would need to happen to trigger that?
Well, again, and I made the point yesterday that in terms of a full shutdown, that is extreme. And you know, we've got two challenges here. One is a health crisis, and the other is an economic crisis. And what we need to do is to ensure that health crisis isn't made worse as a result of the economic crisis, because obviously, you know, with a lot of people out of work, with businesses closed, there's a lot more stress on people in our community as well, and we need to ensure that we manage that. But in terms of getting to a point when there might be a full shutdown, if we have rampant community transmission, then obviously I'll take whatever steps I need to take based on health advice.
Are you able to provide an update of the number of people being quarantined in state-run facilities today?
Yes, I can. In terms of the state-run facilities, we have 90 rooms occupied at the moment. I do want to provide, and I'll some advice. I was asked a question yesterday, which facilities are on the government list, and I'm happy to provide that. As I said yesterday, I wasn't, I didn't have all of the detail. In the south, obviously the Travel Lodge Hobart Airport, Travel Lodge Hobart, Rest Point. In the north, Pepper's Seaport, Best Western, Country Club Villas and Grindelwald. The northwest, the Edgewater Motor Inn, the Gateway, the Barclay Lodge and Ocean Vista. We have over 700 room capacity.
That figure of 90 rooms, does that equate to 90 people or are there more than 90 people?
Look, there could be more than one person in each room.
Are you able to divide that 90 up by region? Like how many in the north, north, west and south?
Look, I don't have that detail in front of me. But look, I'm happy to bring that with me tomorrow. If that's the sort of granular detail that you'd like, more than happy to do that.
What proportion of the public service is now working from home, and are you encountering resistance from bureaucrats to send people home?
No, I'm not. I'm encountering resistance, and it depends on which agency. For example, the Treasury, the vast majority of Treasury are working from home. That is not a customer-facing agency, and the work is largely administrative, important, but largely administrative. So across the public sector, it varies between agencies depending on the level of frontline staff that they have, and importantly, those staff that are best placed to work in an office environment. But secretaries are working with all of their staff and looking to be as flexible as they possibly can. And I would say that I would expect, where possible, the vast majority of public servants will be working from home.
What were the school attendance figures like yesterday?
Look, I don't have yesterday's attendance figures, but they certainly dropped below 50% as of Friday.
Have you given any further thought to alternative arrangements for Parliament? At the moment, the government's very much ruling as an executive. Is there any technological workaround that might see Parliament recalled earlier?
Well, in terms of orders and things that the government might make under the State Emergency Management Act or the COVID bill that we've through last week, those orders are all made publicly available, so people can see and understand what's occurring. On an ongoing basis, I was going to say I meet. I actually have a teleconference on Friday mornings each week with Rebecca White and Cassie O'Connor, and speak with them about matters, and also the independent in the lower house, Madeleine Ogilvie. I have a regular catch up with her again by teleconference to work matters through. I spoke with both Rebecca White and Cassie O'Connor yesterday in terms of the measures that that we introduced at midnight last night, and I'll continue to do so. And I thank them for their broad support in terms of the steps that we're taking.
Have tenants at the Elizabeth Street Pier been offered rate relief?
The Elizabeth Street Pier will pass out of government hands on the 1st of May, I think is the date. Broadly speaking, and this is a matter that we've been looking at in terms of commercial leases at both the national level and also residential leases, and obviously last week we put in place measures to ensure that tenants could not be evicted under the certain circumstances as a result of the impact of coronavirus and the measures that have been taken. We have around 700 commercial properties that the government actually leases, and a lot of those are in the non-government sector. What we're providing to all of those properties will be a six-month rent waiver. And in terms of the Elizabeth Street Pier, the government will waive the rent until it passes out of government hands.
One of the exemptions that's being allowed to people to visit family or friends, potentially breaching the two-person rule, is providing social support. What does that mean if police sort of find you doing that and ask you to explain yourself? The reasons that would qualify as social support?
Well, what I said yesterday in terms of the two-person rule, you can't have more than two additional people in your house other than your family. So if you've got four people in your family and two people come to visit, that's six people that can be in your home. The reason that we've introduced the two-person room is what two-person rule is that what we don't want are parties occurring, as we are aware they occurred last weekend. The pubs and clubs are shut, the restaurants are closed. Two people in your home, that's the maximum. Two people outside to together exercising is the maximum. Now, in terms of social support or care for another person, quite obviously under that rule, two people can drop into your home and check on you.
Are you concerned?
Last couple of things.
Are you concerned at all about some of the fruit pickers from overseas who are living in the northwest, often in quite crowded conditions, a lot of people in one place, going on crowded buses and having visitors? Is there any concern that about how they'll maintain the social distancing and hygiene measures that have been implemented?
Well, the businesses they work for, or businesses that they work for, quite clearly need to ensure that social distancing occurs. They need to be treated exactly the same as everybody else, fairly, with compassion, but importantly, the social distancing rules should be applied, and every business should be applying them, regardless of whether it's fruit picking, manufacturing, or any other form of business.
Why are greyhound and horse races still being allowed to go ahead?
Well, one of the things that has occurred, and I spoke about this on the weekend, in terms of horse racing and greyhound meets, the general public is not allowed into the facility. Only the trainers and the horses and the jockeys, in the cases of horse racing. Limits have been placed in terms of the field, and we've fallen in line with the national guidelines.
Okay.